from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're going to do some money in politics. We've got Alex Marlow, editor-in-chief of Breitbart News, co-author of the Breitbart Business Digest, and author Breaking Biden. Breaking Biden, exposing the hidden forces and secret money machine behind Joe Biden, his family, and his administration. And Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline and WABC radio host of More Money, heard on most of these same stations. Gentlemen, welcome back. Happy Easter to both of you. Alex Marlow, the hidden Biden money machine was not so hidden at Radio City Music Hall on Thursday. He raised $25 million with the help of Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. But at the same time, Donald Trump went out to Long Island to the wake of this slain cop, NYPD cop, Jonathan Diller. And I don't care how much money Joe Biden raised, this is my thought, that Radio City Music Hall thing is going to hurt him, not help him, because of the contrast with Donald Trump going out to the wake of the NYPD officer. What do you think of this story? Is it as significant as I'm making it, or will people forget, or what, Alex Marlow?
No, I don't know if they'll remember it. I hope they do. I hope you're right about this, Larry, and happy Easter to you and to Steve and your audience, and thank you for having me back. But what I see as the most significant part about it is how much Joe was able to raise and how the big guns came out for him. All these celebrities, Barack Obama, I can't even believe they brought Bill Clinton out. I mean, shouldn't he be on the bench in this modern moment? I mean, I just can't believe they think he's some sort of an asset at this point. But we on the right have been acting as though the Democrat corporate status quo is not completely fine with Joe Biden getting another 4 years, because we live in this world where we see his clear dementia, we see his terrible policies, we see how unpleasant he is, and we think, of course, the country was something different. Not these people, not Hollywood, not our big businesses. They're completely fine with what's going on, to the point where they're sending record funds his way. Jeffrey Katzenberg, who is the DreamWorks guy, who is responsible in large part, along with Joe Biden, selling out our film industry to China, he said he's going to give Joe Biden whatever he needs to win. We need to wake up to this fact. They are getting the big dogs out to get Joe back in.
Yeah, I mean, Steve Moore, it's interesting what Alex is saying, because I think at this point, it's got to be very clear that Joe Biden is going to be the Democratic candidate for president. Not going to be somebody else. It's not going to be Michelle Obama or whoever else. It's not going to be Kamala Harris. It's going to be Joe Biden. I mean, that's part of the message here, is it not?
I think there's no question about that. And by the way, I wouldn't have said this 6 months ago. I thought for sure that Democrats would come up with a better candidate. Let's face it, this is not a good candidate for president, given his record in his first 3.5 years in the White House, when you've got 65% to 75% of Americans who say they're worse off today. But you're right, Larry, that the Democrats are now hogtied to Joe Biden. It's a huge risk to them, because he could take the whole party down. Yeah, I think the contrast between, you know, Trump, what this shows, by the way, of course, is that Trump is the candidate of Main Street America, and Joe Biden is the candidate of the super rich and Hollywood and the elite. The good news is that there's no race in America that where money makes less of a difference than in the presidential race. It doesn't matter if he raises $2 billion. Americans, you know, don't they know who they support, and they have plenty of opportunity to see and hear from these candidates. I'm surprised. I'm just surprised that Democrats have basically said, this is our guy. One last point, if I may, Larry. You know, I'm a big Bill Clinton guy. I mean, I think Bill Clinton was, when it came to policy, was a true, you know, new Democrat who supported welfare reform. He supported capital gains tax cut. We had balanced budgets. He was the one who said the era of big government is over. And I just think having Bill Clinton on that stage is a kind of reminder of how the Democratic Party has become so radicalized and so radical left that it's almost surprising that Bill Clinton is a member of that party anymore.
Does anybody know, Alex, was there any reporting inside the Radio City Music Hall? Like, did they cheer, yell, applaud, semi-applaud, go out and have snacks? I mean, what happened in that? Does anybody know? Like, did people cheer more for Bill Clinton or Barack Obama, or did anybody talk to Joe Biden? What happened in there? Does anybody know, Alex?
Yeah, I know there were some speeches. There were some protests of Joe Biden because he is too pro-Israel, which if you're from the Breitbart perspective, he's appallingly too pro-Hamas.
Yeah,
but
right.
the Democrat base is not happy with the fact that he thinks Israel should exist, apparently. So that was very striking and surprising to me, is that is a clear divide for Biden's base, where many of them really do think that the one Jewish state on earth is a big problem. And I don't know how he's going to reconcile that. I think that's a big question for him heading to the election.
Yeah, as you know, Steve Moore, Trump has cut into all these constituencies.
Yep, he sure has.
African-American, Latinos, and so forth. He's going to cut into the Jewish constituency.
I'm not Jewish, and it always puzzled me about why, you know, Democrats were getting 80 to 90% of the vote from Jewish Americans, given especially, you know, what Trump did for Israel. And so that always puzzled me. But I think you're right. I think the Democratic base, the traditional Democratic base, is eroding. And the problem for Democrats, there just aren't enough of these, postgraduate Ivy League, Hollywood people to create a big constituency. The fact that, and you reported on this, Larry, on your TV show, you're seeing the big political shift that's happened in the last 18 months has been blacks and Latinos away from the Democrats, because they blacks and Latinos want jobs. They want, they hate inflation. They want safe streets. They want to do away with the crime and the drugs. And they're hostile to the illegal immigration invasion. And Biden has done nothing about that.
And that's why I think the Trump people will run ads just to remind that Biden was raising money at Radio City Music Hall.
Yep.
And Trump went out to Long Island.
Yep.
Participate in the wake of this young cop, this tragic young cop. I think that's going to be something they'll run ads on. They'll try to remind people as much as possible. Alex Marlowe, let me go back to Breitbart's running an interesting story. Fareed Zakaria, of all people, denounces NBC's dismissal of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel and noted that former President Bill Clinton lied under oath and has been on MSNBC, and Stacey Abrams was an election denier about her own election, and they've had her on. So there's a little hypocrisy in NBC and MSNBC, wouldn't you say?
Oh, quite a bit. And this is why, Larry, and thank you always for the platform and for allowing for me to plug all of my stuff. But my first book, Breaking the News, I did a deep dive profile in MSNBC and to break down the fact that it is just simply an arm of the Democrat Party. That's all it is. The people that run the company are the Democrat bundlers. They're bundlers for Joe Biden. They are family members go into the administration. It's not simply a liberal news outlet. That is completely bogus framing. This is an arm of the DNC. And Zakaria, who I have lots of issues with, who is has lots of integrity issues, the one thing you can't deny about the guy is he does want to talk to other people who disagree with him on stuff. If you follow his career, he does that pretty consistently, and he thinks it's important to do. And it is – so I think he's a good voice for this, because it is completely absurd to suggest that NBC is a news outlet when they are unwilling to talk to anyone who disagrees with them. You can't get more milquetoast on the Republican side than Ronna McDaniel. That should be very easy for them. They should be able to dunk on her all the time if they're so smart, and they all think they're so smart. The fact that they can't handle it shows you that they will not allow any differentiation of opinion on that DNC network.
I mean – I've actually been on Zakaria's show, not recently, but I've been on. It's a fairly unpleasant experience, I must say. But he does call them out. And Steve Moore, this, John, John Carney calls it the balkanization of the media, where you have Democratic platforms, Republican platforms, you have conservative platforms and liberal platforms. There's no question about NBC in particular, MSNBC we know about, but NBC right. in particular, I mean, they could have easily kept Rana on, as Alex said, they could have knocked her around, but she was willing to be knocked around. And I want to bring this into the Trump social, the Trump media successful IPO this week, because this is, you know, this is going to be a conservative platform. This is going to be a, more of a Republican platform. And it just shows you how the split is going to continue. And what NBC, MSNBC, Ronald McDaniel is almost proof pudding of this. There's no hiding it anymore. They are just going to be on the Democratic side.
I think NBC got an incredible black eye here. I'm surprised that they stepped in this the way that they did. And this is the movement in the media that is supposed to be promoting tolerance and diversity. It's a joke, right? I mean, people laugh now when they talk about diversity and tolerance. These are people. Look, the left in America is completely intolerant of anyone with a view that they don't agree with. And they don't want diversity of opinion. They want people who will completely agree with the party line. And so I think NBC has been exposed here. I think it was a great moment for the conservative movement, because now there's no denying it anymore. They don't want diversity. They don't want equity, and they don't want tolerance.
And my friend Chuck Todd, and he's a longtime friend of mine, and I've done Meet the Press many times. But my friend Chuck Todd leading the cheerleading, Alex Marlow, against Ronna McDaniel. Go figure.
Yeah, Chuck Todd has really changed. He is one of the few establishment media journalists who would occasionally acknowledge Breitbart would do interviews with us. He did a long-form interview with our own John Nolte at one point, and he seemed to have some intellectual integrity, even though, of course, he's a left-wing guy. Fun factoid, Amy Klobuchar's former landlord, literally Amy Klobuchar was sending his family a check, which is just completely insane that was allowed to go on. But yeah, he truly has lost his mind. I think Trump broke him among many others in the news media.
I mean, if you go back to think about Tim Russert, who was pretty even-handed, okay? I mean, Tim was a Democrat. He was Pat Moynihan's guy for many years. I knew the late Tim Russert very, very well. And Chuck Todd was supposed to be like Tim Russert. It kind of breaks my heart to see him leading the charge against Ronna McDaniel, because I thought he was better than that. As I say, he's a longtime friend of mine. And I guess you just have to deal with it. That's the state of play in the corporate media.
Larry, you know what the irony of the story is that, you know, Ronna McDaniel is not, I would not classify her as a conservative. You know, I mean, she's a Republican. And yet even someone who's kind of a middle of the road Republican is seen as some kind of tyrant. And again, I think that the real loser here was the major media, and NBC is going to pay a real price for this.
Well, if Meet the Press calls you, Steve, just say no.
Yep.
Just going to have to just say no. I mean, they won't give us an even break. Anyway, let's take a break. Alex Marlow, editor-in-chief at Breitbart News. Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity, and WABC radio host of More Money after this show on most of these same stations. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
Hi, it's Ernie Anastas. You know, your thoughts can affect how you feel, and how you feel can impact your thoughts. Addressing your mind and body connection is the key to improving your overall wellness. Bergen Newbridge Medical Center is the largest hospital in New Jersey, providing comprehensive, equitable, compassionate, and high-quality emergency inpatient and outpatient medical care, plus mental health services and substance use disorder treatment. The Bergen Newbridge team can address your total health needs in one convenient location. Call 201-225-7130. For an appointment or newbridgehealth.org.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking money and politics with Alex Marlow, editor-in-chief of Breitbart News and author of Breaking Biden, Exposing the Hidden Forces and Secret Money Machine Behind Joe Biden. And Steve Moore, WABC radio host of More Money, coming up on most of these same stations after this show. Alex, I'm going to go to you again. Another good Breitbart story. Lead story. Cuba bans Holy Week procession, fearing anti-communist protest. And the reason, I mean, there are a lot of reasons why this is interesting, but the Bidens have played footsie with Cuba. They've played footsie with better trade relations with Cuba, and they've kind of laid off Cuba, as far as I can tell. And here the Cubans banning Holy Week processions. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think your connection is pretty apt, Larry, because you find that Joe Biden is very selective in terms of where his outrage is around the world. And I think it's apropos lately as you see the Biden administration taking an increasingly tougher line on Israel, which is the freest nation in the entire Middle East. And yet that's a problem for Joe Biden. And yet he does play footsie with communist nations that he feels like might not be fashionable with his base. And this is the essence of what he's all about, is that he chooses where his focus is going to go based off of raw political and cynical political calculations. And he doesn't want to get on the wrong side of the communists in Cuba. That's just the bottom line, and that's why it's not a priority for him.
And, you know, Steve Moore, speaking of Cuba, I'm going to link it to Venezuela. Because they brought down, the Bidens have brought down some of the sanctions on Venezuela, promising a free election, which of course never happened. And this is so bad on so many levels, worried about dirty oil and affecting the gasoline price. But, you know, basically Cuba runs Venezuela. The Cuban secret police run Venezuela. The Cuban military runs Venezuela. I mean, this is not a secret. This is something we dealt with during the Trump administration, Steve Moore. So here we go again. For ridiculous, awful reasons, they're going soft on Cuba and soft on Venezuela. And for that matter, I'm going to throw in Iran, all because they cut off, you know, oil flows in the U.S.
That is all true, and it really is amazing that, you know, when you look at some of the most sinister countries in the world that have some of the worst human rights violations, Iran, Cuba, and Venezuela would be right at the very top. And it's amazing. You know, one of the reasons that Florida has become a red state, and, you know, 15, 20 years ago, it was a purple state, but now it's a heavily red state. One of the reasons is the Cuban Americans have gone from supporting the Democrats to the Republicans and en masse, because they realize that the Democrats are actually in bed with they were in bed with Castro. And remember, they used to write articles about the great health care system in Cuba and that kind of thing. So it shows how kind of out of touch they are with America, where we kind of are alienating our allies and we're getting in bed with the countries that are our enemies. And you know, if we hadn't, a lot of this goes right back to the fact that we're not producing every single barrel of oil we should be. You know, the best way to go after Russia, the best way to go after Iran, the best way to go after and shut down Hamas is to produce more oil here so they don't have the money to support these terrorist initiatives.
One of the candidates keeps talking about drill, baby, drill.
I love that. You know,
yes.
I mean,
drill, baby, drill would solve
to a lot of problems.
That's, I was just going to say, it would solve a lot of, would solve foreign policy problems. It would solve gasoline problems, oil problems, national security problems, all the rest of it. Steve Moore, I'll go to you for one more. The Wall Street Journal got one right this morning. The U.S. already soaks the rich. Now, they're a little late to this story, but the reality is the top 1% are paying 46% of the income taxes, up from 33% 20 years ago. All right, Steve Moore, I'll just say go, but Joe Biden wants to soak the rich, but he's already soaking the rich.
He's soaking the rich, and what he also wants to do is soak American businesses. And it goes back to my old, buddy Dick Armey used to, say that you can't have liberals love jobs, but they hate employers. And if you raise taxes on American businesses, two things will happen. They'll have to raise their prices, which will hurt the people who buy things, and they will hire fewer workers because they'll move their operations out. And that's what the evidence shows. Our buddy Kevin Hassett has shown this to be the case. In fact, he was saying on your show, I think you were out that day, that the corporate tax revenues since we cut the rate from 35% to 21%. And according to Kevin's numbers, we've almost doubled the revenues.
No, it's true. It's all true. Alex Marlowe, 30 seconds. It's going to be close between Trump and Biden?
Yeah, we got to play like we're behind because their apparatus is on the move. You see it with the Radio City event. They're going to empty their pockets. They're community organized. They got the lawyers. They got the lawfare. We have to act like we're behind.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Loretta Lynn, stand by your man. Fannie Willis forgot to do that. Alex Marlowe, thank you. Happy Easter. Steve Moore, thank you. Happy Easter. Folks, have a wonderful Easter holiday. I'm Kudlow. We'll see you next week.
This is Greg Kelly for Priority Gold. What does it mean to be America's precious metals dealer? It means that you're in touch with the hearts and minds of those who love this country, value our freedom, and want to protect the future. Priority Gold is that precious metals dealer. They've helped thousands of Americans back their retirement with solid gold and silver. Call Priority Gold at 888-506-6439. Receive free shipping, free storage, a free investment guide, and one of the best purchase experiences in the industry. Call now or go to PriorityGold.com.